Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to our two-part series on the subject, Empowered to Preach Jesus. Before we get into the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, be blessed by some great music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. This is the title track from their project named Let the Worshippers Arise.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, and this is my plea. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, and this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers.
Chapter 1 and verse 8. The scripture says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." My title tonight is Empowered to preach Jesus. Amen. What a wonderful thing. There's nothing really special about us. We don't excel in pedigree or in intellect or in any way that makes us particularly worthy of this. But by His mercy and His grace, He saved us. And not only that, but He filled us with His Spirit. And in so doing, He empowered us to witness for Him, to preach and to tell and to talk about the work of God. We are empowered by the Holy Ghost to preach Jesus to everyone, everywhere that we go. Amen. I'm indebted tonight to the prior generation, and in particular tonight as we have worshiped the Lord. I have remembered Elder Chuck Hoskins. What a precious man of God. And I recall how much he would rejoice with us if he were here with us tonight. I want to give you, yes, ma'am, he'd run, yes, ma'am. Amen. I want to read for you from Acts chapter 16, the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, notice these words, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Can you imagine? God, by the power of His Spirit, caused them to have the understanding that God was forbidding them to go into Asia. Now, when you read the word Asia in the book of Acts, it refers to what we in modern time call Asia Minor. And so they were forbidden. The Holy Ghost forbid them to go into Asia Minor to preach the word. And then the scripture says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Holy Ghost is still forbidding them to go into certain areas. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. Now, I want to pause here and mention to you, Macedonia was a Gentile area, not a primarily Jewish area. And the context of Scripture leads us to understand that there is every reason for Paul to have perceived this man as a Gentile, not a Jew. And this Gentile man is saying to the Apostle Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Can you imagine? We live today in a world where so many people are totally tone deaf to the call of God. So many people, the Lord is pleading for laborers in the harvest, and so many people spiritually, this is their approach. La, 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 la. I can't hear what the Lord is saying. The Apostle Paul is the exact opposite. Where can I go? Who can I preach to? What land can I go into? And he's so anxious that he's wanting to get ahead of God and go places where the Lord knows it's not time to go. Now, the Lord keeps his own counsel, and he knows when is the right time. He knows what will happen, what will befall if someone goes at the wrong time. And so rather than pleading for Paul to go, the Lord is having to pull the reins and hold him back. No, don't go over there yet. No, don't go over there yet. But then the Lord sends his vision to give clear direction to tell Paul where to go. Acts 17, beginning with verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, a synagogue is like a community house. It corresponds almost exactly to what our church building does for us today. In a synagogue, they would gather and they would educate their children. They would teach their children to read and write. It's very similar to our Christian school. They would gather to worship. They would have worship services in a synagogue. The word synagogue is Greek. It literally means house of meeting. It was a get-together place for the believers. very much like our building here, our house of gathering, our house of meeting. And it was the Apostle Paul's educated and proper approach that any town he went to the Jew first and then to the Greek. It was a biblical and lawful and godly approach. He would try to take the gospel to the Jews first, the people of God who had given us the word of God. And if they would hear, they would be one. And if they rejected, then they would not be one. And then he would try to go to the Gentiles in that town. And the scripture says there, where in Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews? And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ. In other words, he is the fulfillment of all those prophecies in the Bible about Messiah. Verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks. Now, the idea here is that there were some people who weren't Jewish by blood. They weren't Jewish by birth. They were Gentiles. But they believed in the God of the Bible. They believed in the Jewish God. And they have come, and they are Gentiles, but they worship with the Jews at the synagogue. And the scripture says, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. God gave them fruit for their labor of preaching the gospel. But the scripture lets us know that opposition came to them. Verse 5. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar. They literally instigated a riot, set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason. Now, that's one of the brethren in the church in that city. Assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these, referring to the believers, these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. I want to tell you a true story. There are so many that we could tell at this point, but this one is so fitting. There was a young preacher by the name of Johnny Godare, and he and his wife had sacrificed much to respond to the call of God that was leading them to go preach and start a church in North Carolina, in Durham, North Carolina. And they left behind financial stability. They left behind the security of what was familiar, and they threw themselves into reaching for the lost. And they knocked on doors of strangers, and they walked down unfamiliar streets, and they reached to any and all who would respond. And after only a few weeks of working in Durham, they knocked on yet another random door. And a woman answered, and suddenly she stepped back in surprise. And when they asked her what had startled her, she said, you are the man I saw in a vision who was coming to Durham to plant a church. And so the Lord was confirming what they were doing, and they gained an assurance that they were in the divine will of God. And so I want to tell you, like Paul in Macedonia, the Godares saw signs following them. When a man collapsed without any pulse in one of their early church services, this pastor, Johnny Godare, went, he prayed intensely for 20 minutes until the ambulance arrived. And a nurse and paramedics said that this man had not had a pulse for nearly 30 minutes. And suddenly he revived, to everyone's surprise, and the Lord raised him up.
My mind goes back to times when somebody has passed out right here in our church and we've interceded in prayer until the ambulance folks arrived, but the Lord spared them and raised them up. Praise God. Hallelujah. My mind goes back to when young Zach Sandy was laying dead on a ball field and people there and all around the world praying, and the Lord heard the prayers and brought him back to life. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to hear me tonight. I'm not just blowing smoke, folks. We are empowered by the Holy Ghost to preach Jesus to every creature. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to know that people need to hear. I know there are people who think they don't want to hear. But even if people think they don't want to hear, they need to hear. And so we today have our own version of the Macedonian call. And we need to follow the leading of the Spirit. The call to missions begins in the book of Genesis. It continues throughout the Old Testament. God promised Abraham that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The children of Israel received divine laws that separated them from all the nations around them. The Israelites were called to be a nation of missionaries. The Israelites were to show other nations how to live right and how to worship Jehovah. Now, unfortunately, the Hebrew people as a nation, they often failed and they ended up serving the heathen gods of their neighbors. But the voice of the prophets foretold the coming of the Messiah and how that through the Messiah, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Amen. Israel sang psalms that foretold the universal salvation for both the Jews and the Gentiles. Out of 150 psalms, there are over 175 references to the nations of the world. Psalm 67, the first couple of verses says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. The Israelites were God's chosen people, but he blessed them so that they would be a blessing to the whole earth. The Gospels record the humble birth of Jesus Christ and his ministry and his death, his burial and his resurrection. He was the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. He was the fulfillment of Genesis 12 verses 1, 2 and 3. He came to be a blessing to all the world. In Luke 24, just before he ascended, Jesus commanded his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem. Amen. Until they were endued with power from on high. And Acts 1 and 8 reveals that the apostles were to receive power to be witnesses of the Lord, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. On the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, 120 people in the upper room received the promise of the Father. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues as they glorified God. I just want to pause here and say, has anybody here been filled with the Holy Ghost and spoken with other tongues as God gave you the utterance? The same Holy Ghost that they were given has been given to us, and the same empowering that they were given has been given to us. We are empowered to preach Jesus. Amen. This phenomenon caught the attention of the Jews and devout men out of every nation under heaven, Acts 2:5, who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Their amazement provided the opportunity for Peter to preach Jesus unto them. I want to tell you that the tongue talking drew a crowd. Amen. Now, you need to exercise wisdom. If the Lord isn't giving you the inspiration to speak with tongues, don't try to force it. But if the Lord gives you the inspiration to speak in tongues, don't worry about who's looking or who's hearing. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed about it. And their amazement at the tongue talking provided the opportunity for Peter to preach to them. And he concluded, during his preaching, he preached the gospel. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But he concluded by saying that the Holy Ghost baptism was for them and for their children, and that it was to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, this is Peter. He's a Jew, and he's been raised with Jewish biases. He's been raised with Jewish prejudices, but the Holy Ghost in him is causing him to say things in his preaching that he maybe doesn't even really understand yet. He said to all that are afar off, hey, that's a reference to the Gentile people getting the Holy Ghost. He apparently at that time didn't yet even grasp the implications of what he was preaching. He saw the promise through a Jewish lens. He couldn't yet conceive that God would include Gentiles as heirs of salvation. It was not until about 10 years after this day of Pentecost that Peter was told by the angel, I've sent these Gentiles telling you to go to Cornelius's house and you need to go with them doubting nothing. There's about 10 years time from here till then when he finally stands in the house of a Roman centurion, a Gentile who fears God with all of his house, and opens his mouth and says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. 10 years have passed before God shows him the vision three times in which the unclean food represented Gentiles. And God told him, don't you call unclean what I have cleaned. Amen. People need to hear about Jesus. Look at how Paul stands in a sharp contrast to Peter. Now, Paul was educated, tutored, if you will, at the feet of one of the most sought-after teachers of the day, Gamaliel. And he was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. And he was zealous toward God, Acts 22:3. He fiercely persecuted the church of God, the Christian believers, until he met Jesus for himself on the road to Damascus. And this radically transformed Saul, who was later known as Paul, he readily accepted his call to be the Lord's chosen vessel to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, Acts 9:15. And as Acts 13 records, the church in Antioch sent Barnabas and Paul on their first missionary journey. Paul understood the promise to Abraham included all nations of the earth, not just Jews. Now, because Paul had a clearer understanding than Peter did, and other of the apostles had a clearer understanding of God's plan for salvation to be universally available, he didn't have any difficulty in responding to that night vision when a man of Macedonia said, come over into Macedonia and help us, Acts 16:9. Prior to this vision, Paul and his companions had been preaching throughout Asia Minor. And while ministering in Derbe and Lystra and Iconium and Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they faced much opposition, but their ministry produced much fruit. And the group had planned to go to Bithynia in northwest Anatolia, which is modern-day Turkey. That's a Roman province on the coast of the Black Sea. And they had intended to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit restrained them, and their plans changed because the Spirit suffered them not. So instead of going north to Bithynia, Paul and his company went west to Macedonia. The ancient kingdom of Macedonia had a rich history, having been a world power led by Alexander the Great. But in these times, it had been reduced to an impoverished Roman province. In fact, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, when he wanted to illustrate to the Corinthians an example of generosity, he cited the poverty of the believers in Macedonia who gave beyond their ability. And so most ministers either have had or will have a Bithynia experience. Let me tell you a true story about one of our young couples that felt called to be missionaries to Europe. They knew it was Europe. They knew it was Europe. They sensed with clarity the call of God. And all throughout their engagement and their early married life, they refused to become encumbered with material goods. Their meager furniture was functional and their home was pared down to bare necessities. They were running lean to avoid debt so they could be prepared to go as missionaries to Europe. Their entire focus was on gaining the needed experience that so that they could qualify to receive their missionary appointment to Europe. And one day, as this young preacher was working at a warehouse, he was called to the phone. And from world headquarters of the United Pentecostal Church, of the Global Missions Division, which back then was called the Foreign Missions Division, the very secretary of that division, Brother Paul Box, was on the line. And he asked if this young couple would be willing to go as short-term missionaries to Jamaica. Yeah. Not Europe. Jamaica, man. He wanted to go teach in the Bible school. And immediately, this minister thought of conversation that he had had a few years prior with a former Bible school roommate. And the roommate and his wife had gone to Jamaica and they had taught in the Bible school. Now, while they may have enjoyed teaching, their living conditions were a challenge. Cockroaches, 2 to 3 inches in length, were everywhere, even inside shoes and kitchen cupboards. And after hearing that story, that young minister had told his roommate, "I'll never go there." Be careful what you say you'll never do. I happen to remember a young preacher by the name of Billy Cole. Before he confessed his call, he ran from his call. And he told his wife at one point, he said, "I'll dig ditches before I'll be a preacher." Be careful what you tell God you won't do. And now the secretary of the Foreign Missions Department was on the telephone asking him to go to the very place that he had once said he will never go. But knowing his wife's heart and desire to serve the Lord and be used of God, this young minister gladly accepted the short-term assignment. In his mind, it didn't make sense to go to the Caribbean since God had called them to Europe. It seemed to be going the wrong direction. But when they arrived in Europe a few years later, they looked back and they realized how beneficial their time in Jamaica was to their ministry. Their experience in Jamaica proved to them that they could adjust to different cultures. Culture shock did not bother them. And their experience reinforced the need to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. He knew the way that they needed to go to gain the experiences needed to prepare to do His will. Now, the scriptures don't really clearly say whether or not Paul had any understanding of why the Holy Ghost forbid them to go to Bithynia. He probably felt frustration as he tried to comprehend the Spirit's leading. I remember also going back again to Billy Cole, when young Billy Cole had finally come around and had accepted his call to preach and was moving forward in that call. He had realized that he was called to Thailand. He went through some time praying for his wife to come to that realization. And finally she did in a great miraculous moment. And so now they have come before the Foreign Missions Board asking for permission to go, asking for appointment to go. Not so much permission, asking for support. Asking for endorsement and support. And at that time, there was a little secret policy. There was a little...
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.